Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hey everybody, it's your host Barry Johnston with my co-pilot, my best friend in the world, Mr. Adam Beebe. How you doing, Adam? Oh,
I'm doing well. I'm doing much better. I had been sick there for a bit.
Yeah, man.
I almost lost my voice.
You sounded sexy, though. You sounded sexy.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I wish that had stayed, but now I'm back to normal, dorky self. But that's okay. Yeah, dude, I thought, man, I had a pretty bad cold, everybody out there, and it hit me on one of my busiest weekends that I had. I had a big comic book con that I went to and saw some friends hanging out there, and I was not feeling great, but I wasn't going to let that stop me. So that was all throughout the whole weekend. It was a Friday through Sunday affair, but we had lined up a bunch of interviews on Saturday. So we ended up doing 5 hours of interviews, and I've barely got a voice, or at least that's what I thought. I thought my voice was just completely wrecked, but actually it wasn't that terribly bad. You can tell I got a little bit of a edge on it, but
yeah, no, you sounded fine. I mean, you fought through it. You fought the good fight. Yeah. There was a time there when I didn't know whether or not we were going to be able to do it, but man, you trudged on. You fought the good fight.
I wasn't going to let us down. Hot tea and honey and lemon, man, it does some wonders.
It does.
So.
It does, for sure. But yeah, hey, so we got some pretty cool stuff coming up. This episode, I think, is an exciting one.
Oh, it definitely is. Today, we talked to Kip. And Kip, she is a new friend of my mother's. My mom, I went to visit her cousin, Marty, in Virginia, and my mom lives in North Carolina, just to give you an idea, just to paint a picture a little bit broader. Yeah,
sure.
But, you know, my mom lives in North Carolina, and her cousin Marty is in Virginia, so she went up to visit Marty, and Marty's friends with Kip. And so these ladies had lunch, and they hung out, and I guess Kip, I don't know if she started talking about these things to my mom, or if my mom started talking about the podcast to Kip. It's hard to tell, because moms will talk about their kids and, you know, what they do and all that stuff. Yeah, so anyway, they became fast friends, and my mom texted me, and she's like, "What kind of things are you looking for?" That's not how my mom sounds, but that's how I'm gonna make her voice. What kind of things are you looking for? Are you looking for this? And she's like, "My friend Kip, and you've got to call her now." I'm like, "Well, Mom, you know, we got a process. We don't want to call people up. We send emails, and they give us a little bit of information, and we go from that, and then we make a connection. We set up a time and an interview." My mom's like, call her now. She's ready for you to call. I'm like, no, I'll email her. This is how we do it. Because my mom was excited, because my mom gets excited, you know. But Mom helped out a great bit, and she came through and delivered, and Kip responded, and man, did she deliver.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's great.
She was
man.
Super excited in her email exchange and super excited when we got her on. Wow, what amazing, amazing, amazing stories. This is just super solid stuff. Yeah, a lifetime of stuff.
She's really a lot of fun. She had just a great sensibility about her. Mm-hmm. And man, sometimes when you're listening to people's stories, you're thinking, you know, well, I wonder what it would be like if I were in her shoes, especially when the stories when she was a kid, you know, you know, the house and stuff. And it's like, man, you know, where she lived, where these stories took place is such a historical part of our country that really, really was great stuff, man.
Well, not just that, though, because not just that house. also where she lived in. So she's got stories from all over. She's got stories from Virginia and from Texas, but also where she was in Texas, she had some historical connections to that place too. So man, it was
Great.
So
great
stuff. Cool. Well, hey, you know, Barry, let's quit babbling on and let's bring out our guest. Without further ado, again, with much, much grateful thanks, we welcome Kip. Kip, what's your weird story?
Well, I have several, but the one that really captured Adam's mom's attention was a story of a house that I grew up in. It was it's a house outside of Warrenton, Virginia. It was built in 1726 as a two-story log cabin.
Wow.
Over the years, more and more parts were added to it. The two-story log cabin is still the front of the house, the interior. Yeah. And so they made it, they enlarged it. And when my grandparents moved into it in the early 1950s, it almost has like an antebellum look to it. It's got the big columns in the front, and it's all white, or used to be all white. And my mom and I moved in with them when I was 2.5 years old. And then when I was 6, my mom got married and I moved out, but my grandparents still stayed there for another 5 years. So I had exposure to this house over the course of, say, 9 years, 8 to 9 years.
Okay, wow.
And when I was growing up, now this is a combination of a variety of angles of these stories. When I was growing up, I had a little invisible friend, little girl. Her name was Sandy. And mom, when I got older, told me that there were times when she really believed Sandy existed because things would happen in the house. And I would be standing there, so to speak, when they found me, and they would say, "What did you do?" And I said, "I didn't do anything. Sandy did it." And mom said, "It was beyond my reach as a, you know, 4 or 5 year old."
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah.
I'm already getting goosebumps.
But the thing is, the whole house was a very friendly house.
That's good.
I was never afraid in that house. And my grandfather had weird things happen, where he would come downstairs in the mornings and his desktop would be open and there would be a piece of paper or something he'd forgotten about out for his attention.
Wow.
Whoa. Like a ghost. He had. So your grandpa had a ghost secretary.
Yes. Well, my granddad was in the military. He was a Navy man. And the person that we think, and gosh, I have the article somewhere and I don't remember where it is. And I apologize. I just recently moved. And so everything's still all packed up. There was a landowner at one time that lived there. And he was an officer in the Revolutionary War. And that's who owned this place.
Wow.
And so I'm wondering if that, you know, the mutual military thing might have connection for him. My grandmother refused to acknowledge there was anything going on in the house. But my mom said, you know, there were things that they felt.
Right.
And I would also play, there were some formal flower gardens outside the house. And I'd play out there, and mom said that I was saying I was playing with people out there. And the whole thing was kind of bizarre. But what really made it super bizarre was later on in years, when I was in my 20s, I became friends with the wife of the family that moved into the house after my grandparents left it. And she was married to a gentleman who worked for the FBI. Mm. And they had two sons, teenage sons. And she told me all these weird things that happened in the house. So, and there was something else that happened to my family. There was a dugout basement, and the door to the basement was in the main hall underneath the stairs that went upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the door only had like a hook and eye latch to close it, way up high. You know, no way a little 4 or 5 year old could reach it. You could be alone in the house and the door is locked. You walk by 5 minutes later and the door is standing open.
Wow. Wow.
So, yes, that's very cool. So when I got to sitting and talking with this lady, her name is Anne, and she was her husband's name was Ted, and the boys were Whit and that was the eldest son, and I think Andy was the younger son, Whit and Andy. They have a variety of stories that she told me. She said the first time she really realized there was something going on in the house was one weekend when her husband and the boys were at a Boy Scout camp over. And Ann and Ted had this little itty bitty dog, and she was up in the master bedroom with the dog, and she started hearing footsteps coming up the stairs, and the landing stopped, you know, at the top of the stairs, was right outside her bedroom door. And then there was a kind of an L-shaped landing for the bathroom and the two other bedrooms. And she called out her husband's name. The footsteps stopped. And then they started up again. And this itty-bitty dog that was afraid of its own shadow started growling. She said she never heard this dog growl this way.
Cool.
And the footsteps came up and stopped at the right outside her bedroom door. And the door was open. The dog shot off the bed as if to attack, came to a screeching halt right at the top of the landing. Sorry, I'm going to get emotional because this whole thing's kind of emotional for me.
Sure.
And
that's okay.
The dog looked up and started wagging its tail and running around in a circle as if he was greeting people around their feet, which is the way he did.
Wow.
Wow.
And so, you know, she turned all the lights on in the house and all this stuff, and there was no one there. So that really kind of freaked her out. And when her husband came home and the boys, he kind of like poo-pooed it. Mm-hmm. Well, at some point later, they were in their bedroom and the boys were in their respective rooms, and they were trying to go to sleep, I guess you could say. And the footsteps started on the landing. And Ted heard them, and he says, that must be one of the boys. And she says, no, though, that's the ghost. Uh-huh. And he says, no. So he gets up, and he checks all the windows and doors. And, of course, being FBI, you're pretty sure that's probably a fortress, even though it's
right.
And the kids were fine. Everyone was asleep. He comes back to bed, shaking his head. And the footsteps start again. And he gets up and checks everything and comes back to bed. He says, I don't understand what's going on. So the footsteps start a third time, and Anne says, hey, knock it off. We're trying to go to sleep. And they stop.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, my God. He says, not only do we have a ghost, but it listens to my wife.
Wow.
They had a friend that used to visit the house. Well, I actually only visited once and was in the guest bedroom. And the whole night, he was fighting for his covers. And he thought it was the dog. But the dog was shut in the bedroom with Ann and Ted.
Wow.
And he would never stay in the house again.
Wow.
Ooh.
Now, the story I'm about to tell you is the most bizarre story of all. Ann said to me that one winter, they came home from work and school, and there was a bouquet of fresh wildflowers on the kitchen counter with a handwritten note, something like, thank you for your kindness to a stranger passing through. And they couldn't figure out who it was. They called their friends. No one left anything. Well, Ted, being the FBI agent, took the flowers into the FBI lab. The flowers were indigenous to Virginia. We're talking the middle of winter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not nursery grown.
Yeah.
And the note paper, and the ink were from the 1700s.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah. Yes. So I come home.
Oh, my
God. I tell my mom this story, you know, that Anna told me. She says, oh, that's so weird. That happened to us.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Oh, my.
Really.
Oh, my.
So take it forward. Just 2 years ago, I was at a local function here in Warrenton, and I saw the eldest son, and we reconnected. And then in front of my friends, including Marty, your mother's cousin, Marty, in front of her, Whit and I said, well, do you remember this? And am I remembering this correctly? And we re-verified all of our memories about all the different things that happened.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. That is intense.
We have a temporary person who, you know, I could put you guys in contact with if you needed to verify this.
Sure. Wow.
That's my mind is blown.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Wow.
I don't even know how to respond.
Now, did you have the same footsteps? Like, did you ever hear anything like that when you were there?
When I was a little, none of that stuff really.
Yeah, registered.
I experienced it. It was no big deal.
Yeah,
it was just for being in the house.
Yeah.
What about what about you? So you had your imaginary friend or possibly ghost friend, Sally. You said yes.
Sandy.
Sorry.
That's okay. I don't think she'll be upset.
Well, I hope not. she's a ghost. I hope not. But what do you remember about her? Do you remember her being like, you know, like did she dress like in old ways, or do you know? I mean. You have many memories.
I just have a memory of a young girl with blonde hair, and I have blonde hair too. But and she was my age. I think she was older than me. Mm-hmm. Like she might have been like 7, 8, or 9, okay. And I was 4, 5, and 6 there. Actually, I was 2.5, 3, 4, and 5, and 6 there. So I'm not. I just remember her being around.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, you're being that young, just still remembering that much. You know, I guess that's I guess, pretty impactful still. You know, and if your mother says that she thought Sally might have been real, oh, that's so freaky.
That is pretty interesting.
Well, and my mom was very open to this stuff, and so was my grandfather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so... the acceptance for them was like, you know, this is kind of wild and cool, not, oh my God, you know,
yeah.
Haunted. It was like, yeah, it is, and that's wow. Okay.
That is so, man. The thing that takes it up a notch there is that the forensics were done.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just crazy. Yes.
Wow. That's several notches. For that's sure. Several. When you take it into Quantico or whatever it is that the you know FBI and
yeah. Your lab took it
in lab. You know, you take it in there and
now, wow. He's now passed away. So and so I don't. You know, I could not ask him directly.
Yeah.
And Anne's now lives down in Georgia, but it was yeah. And now another experience I had at the house. In a way, was right before my mom died. My mom died in 1998, and the summer before, my late husband and I came from Texas to Virginia to visit. And we were driving around, and he said, I wonder if we can find the old house. And I said, because it had been built up around it. I said, well, I think we can try, see if it's still there. Well, we did find it, and this is summertime, and... we drove up and kind of pulled up in front of it, and he says, the front door is open. Why don't you go knock on the front door? I'm going like, I don't know. Okay, let's go knock on the door. Well, I knocked on the door, and the lady of the house came to the door, and I said who I was and how my relationship to the house, and she invited my husband and I in, and I had told him about the door episode, okay, the basement mm-hmm. door, and he didn't believe it. He would read Stephen King and Dean Koontz and all that stuff, but he didn't believe it. He was also a lawyer, by the way. So after we got who was who, I said to the lady, I said, do you still have your, do you still have your guest? And she says, oh, yeah. I said, can you show us? And she went right to the basement door and said the same thing I'd been saying for years to my husband. And
oh, wow. Then
we had a full tour of the house, and we talked about, you know, what we did versus what the
wow.
kids, what they were doing with the house. Well, after we left, I said to my husband, I said, now do you believe in ghosts? And he said, well, I believe in that one.
That's great.
Have it affirmed again.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that is intense, man.
That's so was such rich history. In yeah, that
right.
And that you're in touch with, and that again, you know, having it confirmed over and over again by different people, new people. That's just spectacular. That's just mind blowing. I mean, Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
After Ann and Ted moved into the house, they decided they wanted to expose the log cabin beams in the living room. So after they pulled off the plaster, they were pulling out the old chinking to put in new. And there are places where the chinking had, fallen out before the plaster was put up. Mm-hmm. And there was newspaper stuffed into it. And they pulled him out, and the newspaper had articles about if Sitting Bull didn't settle down his braves, they were going to send out the army.
Wow.
Wow. Dang.
Wow. Man. That house is just, I mean, that house is, you said 1728?
1726, close enough.
That's intense. Yeah, but still, I mean, that's older than America. That is, and it's still there.
It's still.
And it's still being lived in, and
yes.
It's. And also unlived in or whatever, you know. Yeah. It's kind
of, and they did the current or the owners that were in it in 1998 have subsequently got it on the National Register for Historic Places.
That's fantastic.
And I'm trying to remember the name of it. But when I find that article, I'll be sure to send it to you.
Yes, it talks
a little bit about its history. It doesn't talk about the ghosts. But there was a gentleman who financed his Revolutionary War troops by the whiskey. Mm. And he kept his whiskey in the basement. And that's what we think was the reason why the basement door kept coming open, was he was making sure that his whiskey
was
down.
His whiskey was right. Wow. That is so intense. I worked at an old inn in Pennsylvania that was built around the 1750s, and it had such a interesting feeling walking in there, because the basement was hand dug and then they plastered over it, and so you could still see like the shovel marks and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just like a really interesting feeling is all that I can say. It's like, until you've had an experience of walking in and living in an old building, an old structure like that, with, you think about all the people that have been in and out of that place, especially back then, that was a larger home probably that saw a lot of different incarnations of people passing through, you know, that is, at a time in our country too, when so much was going on,
yes.
You know, a lot of emotions, and
yeah,
that is just that's crazy, man.
I think Adam can relate to this. When you grow up on the East Coast, your sense of history, is pretty. If you're into that, it's very personal.
Of course,
when you're experiencing things, you go to Williamsburg, you go to Jamestown, even Washington D.C. and other areas, and the battlefields.
Yeah,
if you let it be a part of you, it's a huge impact.
Absolutely.
Be able to stand in such sacred ground.
Yeah. See where those things actually took place, you know, right outside your door. It's amazing. You know,
where we grew up in Oklahoma, Barry and I mean, everything was still fresh. I remember when we were in grade school and Oklahoma was celebrating, wasn't even 100 years old, the state.
It was founded in 1908 or 1913?
No, I think it was like 1906.
Is that right?
1905 or 1906. But still, I mean, I remember one year, you know, we let off a bunch of balloons because it was the 80th anniversary of the statehood.
Right.
Everything's so fresh. I mean, you know, like my mom's mom, my Nana, was born the year after Oklahoma became a state. So, I mean, it was in living memory. Everything there was, for the most part, in living memory, you know, for a lot of people. So, like, but that same, my Nana, that same woman, my mom's mom, was huge into DAR, Daughters of the American Revolution. She was big into genealogy and history. And that really she shared a lot of that with me and really stoked the passion for that kind of a thing, for history, for me. So when she lived in D.C., we would go to Williamsburg. We would go to all these historical places that she shared with, and I just have a fondness for it, and I love that, and it's spectacular. Yeah. So
those memories, I understand now, is so touristy.
Oh, yeah.
Still want to go back when it's quiet. This is a great time of year to go. It's Christmas time. And it, though I think get closer to Christmas, this is going to be a lot more crowded. But it's I'd like to go back, but I'm kind of afraid to because it's probably so commercialized compared to what I remember it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I think we have covered all that I can think of on that house.
So killer. I mean, what a
I probably should have ended with that story because the rest of them are kind of
No. So we want to try an experiment. We want to get stories from you, the listener, for us to read on air.
What we're saying is if you don't feel comfortable being interviewed on air, you can type up your story and send it to us, and we will have it read, and we'll share your story that way.
It'll be a cross between us telling your story and our reactions to your story.
So what we'll probably do is have a third party read your stories, and we'll react as we typically do.
And we want to try this as an experiment. It's an idea that we've come up with.
Now, granted, we can't ask you the questions we would normally ask someone who is involved in the story, but we may have our reader just make up stuff.
That could be part of the charm.
And it's a little silly, but we're going to try it, and it'll be fun. We want more, so go ahead and give us.
You want more?
Yeah.
My next experience with ghosts was when I was in college. I went to Shenandoah. It was then Shenandoah Conservatory of Music in Winchester, Virginia. It's now Shenandoah University. Mm-hmm. And on my birth father's side of the family, that side of the family were the Englishes and the not English. The Grays and the Eddies. That's what it was, the Grays and the Eddies. And they helped settle Winchester, mm-hmm. and which was kind of neat. And I would go over to the Mount Hebron Cemetery because, mm-hmm. and to visit, you know, just to wander around because the cemeteries are awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So freaking awesome in daylight. And so,
yeah, right.
there's so much history in cemeteries, and part of me would like to get into doing tombstone rubbings.
Yeah.
But I used to go over there because the front gate to the cemetery, which also serves as the house for the gatekeeper, as well as, you know, the offices at that time, looks like a big gray stone castle. If you go and check Mount Hebron, Hebron Cemetery in Winchester, you'll see the pictures. It's just phenomenal. Well, one of my classmates at Shenandoah was the daughter of the gatekeeper at that time, or the cemetery manager, I guess is really what to call it. And we used to go over, a bunch of us used to go over and visit her. We could hear, now Winchester was taken and retaken. There's all sorts of different numbers were taken and retaken, swap sides between the north and the south at least 17, and some people say up to 100 times during the Civil
War. Okay.
It goes back and forth. And this particular house was used for command headquarters and or other headquarters at times. And we could hear them playing poker in one of the upstairs bedrooms. And downstairs in the kitchen, we could smell food being cooked.
Really?
Nothing in there.
Oh, my Lord.
So that was really wild.
Wow. Wow. That is... that is crazy. And how many people were you, like, when you experienced that? A couple of people you were with, or...?
Yeah, like three or four.
And everybody's felt... Wow.
Yes.
Yemeni Christmas.
And this is a regular occurrence.
Yes.
That they would hear all the time. They're playing poker, and like how clearly could you hear them? Could you distinguish the voices?
Some of them a little bit. A lot of it was just outside of our hearing range for clarity. Then every a word would come through.
Wow. So it's like listening to a bunch of people, like just sort of chatter going on.
Yeah, but it was definitely, you could tell they were playing cards because they were using poker terms.
Wow,
man.
That really did give me shivers, man. I mean, I've got, that is so crazy. Because you think, I mean, seeing something is one thing. I mean, that's one, you know, you're seeing it with your eyes, and you hear people talk about that. We've had quite a few people talk about seeing somebody, and of course, but like adding the audio to that, something that you hear is, would just be, you know, because we've talked about this before. I'm a very auditory type person. I connect with music easily, and I love the podcast format. And I don't know. I just, hearing something and not having a body that it's coming out of or whatever would just be incredible.
It's freaky.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah. Well, one thing, I listened to a few of your podcasts, which I thought were great, by the way. And thing I like about it is it's almost like it takes us back to the days of radio.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where we really can then let the rest of our senses and our imagination, you know, fill in the spaces.
Absolutely.
And it's a wonderful experience.
Well, that's what we love about it too, you know, is the ability to get back to telling stories and connecting with people in that way. Cause we, you know, I mean, movies are great, but it's just a different experience, you know?
And there's something about this format, and I think, and about, especially the way we do it, how it, that it makes it that kind of, it really gives us the ability to connect to our storytellers and to our listeners too, because I mean, you know, we listen to that. We probably shouldn't listen to our own podcast, but we do it all the time, you know? And I mean, it allows us to, it's very, it's not in a regular kind of interview. It's not as just connected. It's very much about making those connections and sharing the experience. And that's, you know, and that's, and we appreciate you sharing these experiences with us because they're so phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the fun part of a podcast is that you do go back and listen to it again and you catch new things every time.
Yeah.
And you,
exactly.
Yeah. And you have a different experience each time you,
yes.
Yeah. You go back.
Yes.
And I forget some of the things I say sometimes. I'm like, oh, good point, me. So.
Very good, very good.
You know, and the reason that we sound so good is because Barry is an audio engineer extraordinaire, and he really does. So when he starts talking about how that hear the voices affected him, just hearing that how that gives him shivers, I know how impactful that must be, because I know him. That's a weird thing.
Yeah.
But the thing to me, you said there was also smells coming from
the kitchen.
Yeah
That's of things that no one's been cooking.
That's amazing.
That's the day before.
Wow. That's really, really, to me, that's even more bizarre than the sounds, because like sound is it's a wave, it's energy, you know, I mean, it's produced by, you know, in waves, and that's energy. But like to smell something,
yeah,
that's the science of it is that it has to be a physical presence. It has to something physically be there. So, cause you smell, you know, with your taste and all of that. And that is just, that's big.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. That's really, really, really beyond even, like, to me, seeing something and hearing something, you know, because, you know, I mean, there's extra depth of it, because it has to be a physical thing. So that's just insane.
Yeah. 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 And what could you tell what it was? I mean, could you?
I'm trying to remember.
Bacon or something?
I bet it was.
That's what I'm thinking. Bacon. It was probably something that was smoked.
That's
And I do remember something about bacon. I'm trying to remember what else I smelled. And what made it so distinctive is that the family did not eat red meat.
Wow.
This is even before it became a thing. This is back in the 70s.
Sure.
But they didn't eat red meat because there was one of the kids or one of the parents just had had problems with it.
Yeah.
And so they wouldn't be cooking bacon. And that was like, we're talking 1972, 73.
Wow.
So that's before turkey bacon and tofu burger and stuff like that.
Right, right. Golly.
That's, wow.
That is crazy. That, and they say that, that sometimes you you can smell perfume or like, you know, that's what they say.
I forgot. You're right about that.
You know, but because that does trigger the senses in a way where it's like that, that familiar smell, you know.
It smells definitely smells have
powerful.
A way
smell is
of triggering memory. They, you know, they've done studies on that.
Yeah,
so.
Big time.
Wow. Ho, 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 I'm still working on the laugh. But you know, it's been my lifelong ambition to be Santa Claus, a real-life Santa.
You've been talking about that for quite a while.
Dude, I've been born with the body. I am designed by nature to be Santa Claus. I've got Beyond Dad Bod. I've got Santa Bod. So, you guys out there in What's Your Weird Story Land, we're coming up on Christmas. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas or any of the other end-of-the-year holidays, we thought it'd be cool to have a themed story episode.
If you saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, if you saw something coming down the chimney, if you experienced a Christmas miracle, any of those things, we would love to hear it.
You know, I swear, at one time, I saw Rudolph's red light.
I'm sure.
It snows. I swear that, dude. Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah, so, you know, if you got that stuff, man, we would love to hear that. It'll be fun and lighthearted, or even if it's dark, we want to hear it, and we'll have a special, and that'll be fun. So, cool. Awesome. Ho, ho, ho! Yeah! I don't know where that came from.
Now it was a lot of years in between there that I didn't have really a lot of experiences. And then I moved to San Angelo, Texas for a while. I was house sitting and I became involved with the local paranormal society. And we did a couple of different of investigations. Mm-hmm. And the which was really neat. But one of them was where I really had a personal experience. The this was a house of a lady who had lived there several years, and her daughter had been raised in this house. And the daughter moved away, and the mother passed away. So the daughter was back with her family clearing up the house.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the son kept seeing a man in the house, and they would hear noises. So about six of us, I think six or eight of us went over one night to do an investigation. She asked us to come in. And while we were there, we found out that the original owner of the house was a man who was a cowboy by trade. He built the house. He also worked on cars and stuff. And I can't remember how he got terribly injured. And I can't remember if it was because a car fell on him in his garage or something, but he had crawled into the kitchen and died on the kitchen floor.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Well, and he knew the late husband of this woman, or the of this woman who moved into the house and raised her kids. And the daughter never really felt comfortable in the house. She felt it was really kind of a creepy, scary, maybe even a little perversion going on energy in the house.
Right, right.
So she asked us to come in, and the two things, we did a variety of different techniques that night. There were three things that happened. One, when two of the investigators were in the back bedroom, we got an EVP of woman saying, "Get away." And then as we were leaving, now that we didn't hear that until later.
Right.
So we had
Right.
About that. As we were leaving, we decided, because we didn't think at that point we'd had much activity. We decided to use the dowsing rods, you know, the copper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rods.
Yep. Yep.
And there was a young woman who had been training on them, who was very good. We ended up having a yes-no conversation with the original man owner of the house and the lady's mother.
Wow.
And
I'm sorry. Okay, so you had the original owner, the man who passed away in the kitchen.
Because and, two people that ever lived in that house was the man mm-hmm, and right. that woman with her kids.
And the woman, had the woman passed away as well?
Yes. And the daughter was
there. Oh, okay, okay.
Wow. They kept listening because they kept hearing and seeing things. So, and I thought I had a copy of the recording, and I haven't been able to find it because I had videoed it on someone with using someone's phone. Mm-hmm. But it, to get the conversation started, it we asked it to point to certain people in the crowd, and I was one of the people it, they asked to have it point to, and the rod swung over to me. So that was so we had a real good conversation about and let me back up real quick. The two ladies that were the two investigators that were in that back bedroom also were touched on the shoulder. Oh. And it was after, you can hear it on the recording, after she said she'd been touched. No, it wasn't her shoulder. Excuse me. It was a little bit lower.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Yeah. They touched her chest.
Okay.
Oh.
And it was right after that that they heard the voice saying, get away.
Those frisky cowboys.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Out of here.
I mean, that's scary, though. I mean, it's funny, kind of, but it's also very terrifying, you know, because that's just, if a ghost is going to take a liberty like that, you know, with a stranger, yeah. then I would not want to be a woman living at that house. I wouldn't want to be a man living at the house. I wouldn't be. And me, I am a man, so I still wouldn't want to be living at that house. But yeah,
okay. Sure. So we clarified who it was that touched the investigator, and we also let the daughter come to some closure or peace or whatever, because we asked the mother specific questions about things that the daughter was really struggling with. And the mother was able to give her answers, which just relieved a whole bunch of stress from the whole situation good. Of clearing out her stuff and selling things.
That's then, good.
As we're leaving the house, the daughter and I are the last ones, and we're standing there kind of in on the porch with the screen door still open, and the inside door had about 2 or 3 inches before to close it. And the daughter goes to reach to close the door, and it just slams shut.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Something tells me that wasn't her mom.
Yeah, I think it was the cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so that where, was kind of weird. I'm sorry.
Where was this again? Where did that take place?
San Angelo, Texas.
Okay. That's what I thought. I thought you said Texas, but I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
That's wild. Man, that's wild. That guy, well, I don't even know. I mean, there's the energy that house must be so weird to live in with, like, if you're very sensitive to energies, because you're going to have that mothering side, but also you're going to have that darker side with the cowboy there.
Mm-hmm. What was, when you walk into something like that, because, you know, we've never done anything like that. Mm-hmm. The expectations, like, are you thinking there's something is going to happen? Are you, because we've talked before that sometimes it seems as though, like, people like us, that our experiences with that kind of stuff is very limited. You know, I've had a couple of things, but not to the degree that you've had. How often do the expectations get met when you're going into something like that? Is it rare, or
it's rare. Because we did one house that another local paranormal group had said, oh, this place is haunted, and we debunked a bunch of it.
Okay.
And so we go in with we try to go in with an open mind, mm-hmm. also to try to find real world explanations for things that are going on. Now, the same house I'm talking about that we debunked stuff, other things happened that we couldn't debunk. So yes, the house does have spirits in it, but not to the extent that the other group said.
Okay.
And specifically, one was a closet door that they said would open on its own. Well, yeah, if you walked across a certain floorboard a certain way, the closet door would open.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, but there were other legitimate spirit activities going on in the house.
Right.
I didn't experience them. I was part of the debunking, but I didn't experience anything else. But other, you know, I do remember, though, this was actually the fort in San Angelo, and I can't remember the name of the fort. There's an old frontier fort in there. And so you have all sorts of hauntings going on. We were outside the soldiers' quarters. And of course, this was at night. And I remember seeing a shadow go across and outside walkway.
Wow.
So that was kind of wild.
Was that Fort Concho?
Yes, Fort Concho. Okay. Yes. Thank you for looking that up.
Look at Barry with the useful power.
I wanted to find out. That's cool.
Wow. I was going to make note of it. So.
Wow. That's cool.
So that was something else I experienced with this group. But I wasn't there long enough to do a lot of stuff with them.
Yeah.
And so.
And how long ago was that you were doing that?
2009.
Okay.
So about 9 years ago.
Gotcha. Fairly recently.
Yes.
So with your group, the ghost hunting television series are very, you know, there's been tons of those recently in the past, you know, 10, 15, 20, maybe 20 years. But like with your group, though, how was it, you know, it was all just people that gathered together, volunteers, and they were, you know, everybody, did people have like... Was there a tech guy who had all the equipment? You said there was a woman who was getting dowsing stuff. Did you have like a psychic? I'm just curious about the group itself.
The group itself was kind of a mixture of a variety of talents. And yes, we did have technology that different people would contribute to the group. Say, yes, you can, you know, I'll go out and buy this, and someone else will go out and buy something, and then we'd kind of pull it together for an investigation. The organization was very informal in the way that we did not like charge a whole bunch for dues or anything like that. Just you know, just basic stuff.
Sure.
They were very careful of only allowing on investigations people who were regular attendees and contributed to the group, and after the investigation, going through the film and going through the recordings, and to make that investment in time after the fact.
Right.
The people that were serious, we welcomed anybody, but it was. They didn't want the serious investigations to be an experience by the person that had asked us to come in and do an investigation to be compromised by someone who was inexperienced and maybe not taking it as seriously as it should be taken.
Yeah, sure.
Now, they did host, usually a couple times a year, investigations open to anybody. That's how many times we would do Fort Concho and places like that where we're not going into someone's home.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Places. There is a, my brain is on Saturday time. there is, I'm going on to Google myself. There is an old, bordello in San Angelo, Texas, bordello. Miss Hattie's.
Okay.
And it was, it's a museum, but they also do ghost hunts there every once in a while. And in fact, Jason and Grant from the original Ghost Hunters had done an investigation there.
Okay.
And,
I might've seen that.
And there are, there's a lot of history there. And it's right near, if I remember correctly, I'm trying to remember, it's right near like one of the major public political buildings. Mm-hmm. And there was a tunnel between the two.
Of course.
Sounds about right.
That's hilarious. It might have been built by the Masons. You never know. There was a... it
probably was.
There was a... Yeah, because the Masons were known for doing that, too. That's... That, that's, man, you know, because there is a lot of care that would have to go into an investigation like that, because you got so many different aspects of you're utilizing tools and technology. So the technology and the tools give you the ability to sense maybe a little bit at the time of what's happening, but a lot of the investigation I would think would happen afterwards. Also, you're pouring through the videotape, you're pouring yes. through the audio, and you're, I mean, that takes, you got to be dedicated
yeah.
to pour
yeah.
through. If you're shooting, you know, 10 hours or 24 hours worth of video and audio, and you've got multiple cameras and multiple audio feeds, I mean, that adds up pretty quick.
Yes. Yeah.
And so. Also just, you know, and for the video and audio, for just paying fine-tuned attention.
Exactly.
You know, that's because that takes, I mean, mm-hmm. you've got to pore over things. Over, yes. you know, oh, did I see something? You know, you got to rewind yeah. and watch it two or three times just to see. It's like, okay, that is a moth.
Right.
It's not,
yes.
you know,
yeah,
or
right,
an orbit. It is, you know, or no, I didn't hear that. That was my cat in the background or
yes.
whatever, you know.
Yes.
Something like yeah. that. That's yeah. not, no, not this instance. But I was, as you know, example of the, what you have to do there. But yeah, that's a lot of man hours, you know.
Yeah,
and that's a lot of time, and that's,
you know, the people that are willing to do yeah. the back end and the after the investigation, going through all those tapes and filming of the mm-hmm. film and everything, are the ones that are considered serious by the group and willing yeah. to make that, and then they're the ones that are invited to go on investigations.
Yeah.
So it was really eye-opening.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms. We're very 21st century. We're on Instagram at What's Your Weird Story. That's WATSYER Weird Story. We're at Twitter. We're at What's Your Weird. We got a Facebook page. It's the What's Your Weird Story podcast Facebook page. Just remember that our your is your because we're folksy. And we also have a www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. That's www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. That's for all of your social media platforms. And those are ways you can contact us and set up an interview if you want to be part of the show. So look us up.
Now, I didn't have much else happen, I don't think, for a while, for a few years after that. Then back in... Bear with me now. I think it was... Okay, let me think now. It's been 2 years. Yeah. So about 2 years ago, I was living here. I had already moved up here to Warrenton. Let me back up. So 2 years? No, it was 3 years ago. Well, I guess it was 2 years ago. Anyway, 2 or 3 years ago, I had flown to Texas to meet one of my very best friends who lives in Alpine. Now, if you don't know about Alpine, Texas, you need to look it up on a map. It's way down near the Big Bend, and I lived there for several years and made some very close friendships. Well, she was driving from there to her mom's, her hometown up in upstate New York, Ogdensburg, New York, which is right up on the St. Lawrence River. Mm-hmm. And it was this time of year, and I think it was this time of year, or it might have been January, but her mom didn't want her to drive by herself. So I flew down and to Dallas, and she and I drove together because we love to do road trips together. So we went up to her, and we stayed at her house, which at her mom's house. And I asked her mom, I said, is the house haunted? And she said, well, she says, a relative said that their little girl had seen something upstairs, and up in the upstairs hallway, the mother was there doing something, and she heard the little girl talking to somebody, and the mother says, what are you doing? And she says, well, I'm talking to this little girl up there in the upstairs hallway. And so we talked about it. We laughed about it. This is a very Catholic family, but they have open minds. And So 3 days later, I was there for several days with my friend. 3 days later, I am sitting in the living room watching TV with her mother. My friend and her brother were in the kitchen. They weren't even in the same room. Mm-hmm. And brother had his little son with him, who was about maybe 3 years old. So he was running around, little toddler. Plus, we had a couple big dogs. Well, I'm sitting there watching TV, and I feel something like poke me in my left arm, upper arm. And I looked down, thinking it was a dog or the kid, and there's nothing there. So I thought, oh, I imagined it. So then I'm watching TV, and I have another poke. And I look down, and there's nothing there. Well, I'm like, what is going on? And it happened a third time. And I said to my friend's mother, I said, something just poked me. And her mother says, yeah, I saw your sleeve move, and I was wondering what's going on. And we figured it was the little girl was poking me.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Was it? You think it was Sandy?
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
Wow.
And then the following, that this must have been in December, because the following January, I went on a paranormal tour here at the in Warrenton at the old jail. Now, this jail was in operation up until the 1980s, I think. And it was built in the late 1800s, I think. You'd have to look it up.
Okay.
But a lot of people have died in the jail, and it's got a lot of hauntings and stuff. Well, I was sitting on a bench away from the group as they're talking about what's going, you know, about the room and the history, and I feel something poke me in the side. And it happened like 3 or 4 times. And there was a gentleman there as part of the group, and the Historical Society brings him in regularly because he does see spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to him, I said, do you see anyone next to me? And he said, he looked, and he says, yeah. He says, I see this gentleman there, and he's kind of got a smirk on his face. And I said, I bet he does.
Wow.
Wow.
Just a couple years ago that happened.
That's incredible.
People, they like to touch me for whatever reason. Yeah,
right. Well, it's like we talked about before, you know, some people are just more open to those things happen. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, subject to these weird things, you know?
I've thought about volunteering down there at the jail. And then I think, like, do I really want to be exposed to this all the time? Yes. I don't want them coming home.
You might
get a new boyfriend if you go down there.
And you do have to be careful because they will follow you home.
Yeah. Well, I've never, the only jail that I've ever toured, old jail, was the Alcatraz. And you can feel, you know, that place has a lot of history, not only the jail, but it was built during the Civil War to house a bunch of artillery and stuff like that, I believe. But man, the history there is intense. And you could cut it with a knife. You walk in there.
Energy.
Yeah. You walk in there. The way they do their tours, at least at that time, is audio. So you'd walk in there by yourself, whatever. They would tell you, you know, where to go. But it's like, man, the types of people that resided there and the things that went on there, you can really feel it, you know?
Yeah, that the level of evil.
Yeah.
Must be really, be scary.
Yeah, it's intense.
And beyond even the evil, the level of just misery and pain that would be there. You know, this the negative side of all emotions, because, you know, not too many people go to jail and find love and happiness.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some.
But, yeah.
You know,
that's definitely
wow.
So,
yeah.
So I think that is, if I think of any other ghost stories, I'll let you guys know.
So good. I mean, that was,
thank you.
Also the fact that you don't, you know, dismiss the things that happened to you, and that you got into searching for things, is not a lot of people would do that. You know, not a lot of people not a lot of people would be struck by something like that as a child and have these experiences as they get older and then actually try to figure out what it is that they're doing to the extent of going on these expeditions and doing stuff. It's really cool.
Thank you. It has been very interesting. And like I said, there's a part of me that like to do a lot more, but then there's the part of me that goes like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's 100% reasonable for you to be so ambivalent about it, because there is that natural curiosity that we as a species have, but there's also that little bit of inside you that's just like, maybe not. And that's when you have that gut feeling, you know, that intuition as well. You know, that's a good thing to follow. Yeah,
absolutely. Probably good.
Well, I would say that every time we did an investigation, we did the Lord's Prayer before and at the end. Mm-hmm. And also when we did the jail tour, the paranormal mm-hmm. jail tour, they did the same thing, which I really respected.
Absolutely.
That they took it seriously as well, that this wasn't just a lark to get people to come to the jail.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They actually had a sleepover earlier this year at the jail.
Oh, yikes.
And I was not able to.
No way.
I'm not going to volunteer to sleep in a jail, new, old, or anytime.
No.
I thought it was a volunteer. You had to pay. It was like $75.
Oh, yeah. I'll get an Airbnb for that much, man.
Well, guys, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a little help from our friends. We need you, our loyal listeners, to help us spread the word about the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Just go to your current podcast provider, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podbean, YouTube. We're just about everywhere. Hit the subscribe button, download the podcast, give us a thumbs up, hit the like button, give us the highest rating you can, and give us a review. The What's Your Weird Story podcast is a community effort. Without our friends and listeners, it wouldn't be possible to do what we do. So please help us out by spreading the word. Man, oh my God, Kip, what cool, interesting stories, huh?
Dude, there's so many highlights. That entire conversation was a highlight.
Yeah, it was cool. You know? I the thing that really sticks out to me is the story about the cemetery when they smelled and they heard the voices. And
yes.
What a trip, man.
Yeah, the smell part obviously really stuck out to me.
Yeah.
Just because that's an unusual aspect that is beyond normal kind of like connection to explanation to kind of the things. That's a physical level of just extra that is so much and also the flowers and
that was so crazy. I still think about that. How do you explain that?
You can't. That's like an urban legend.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It's like, I mean, that's how like amazing that is, and like how like it's just there, and like
especially with the forensics. I mean, with the forensics, dude, man.
Dude,
come on.
You know what I mean? Like I'll tell you one possible explanation is that the husband was the FBI agent. If he took it in there, I guess there's two. He could have set it all up.
Correct. Yeah.
And had one of his people, one of his fed spooks at friends, you know, one of the G-men do that.
Yeah. That's
or two, they could have just lied about the results.
Right. For sure. But man,
I don't think that's it, dude.
I mean, I think
that's legit.
It's bizarre.
Because it wasn't just a one-time thing.
Right.
Her mom said that. Remember?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Just coming back.
Just bizarre. You know? Just bizarre. And and I love the fact that those things that happened to her when her kids sort of propelled her on through her life to be curious about these things. And like when she goes to Texas and she decides to get involved with the paranormal investigation team. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I just have a lot of respect for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. To have that kind of that level of curiosity and like a dedication to the curious. That's really fantastic. And I guess in a way we're doing that, but we're not going out into the field really.
Right.
Although we did try to go find Bigfoot.
We did.
I mean, I think we kind of knew that we weren't going to have much luck with that. Although we did have an excellent guide.
We did.
We might have to dig out that. We recorded some of that, dear listeners. And we might have to dig that out. We've been debating on that, whether we should ever play that for you.
Yeah.
Because
the door's not completely closed on it. If you, who knows? A future half episode or partial episode something or
like,
something.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Kip was awesome, and we appreciate her coming on, and she was really enthusiastic about it, and just appreciate her.
Definitely. And you know what, Barry? You know what else would we appreciate?
What's that?
This past week, we had, in one day, a spike in downloads.
Yeah.
From our international listeners. It's from our neighbors up north in Canada.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking, actually, how much download.
It's doubled what our normal download size is. We're still, you know, you guys, we're still relatively new at this, and we're still getting our legs and still getting our audience, and we're growing, but man, we just had a huge growth spurt, and it was all up north. And but we also have other international listeners, you know, and those are growing too, and we appreciate you guys for listening to a couple of small town Okies who just like to hear these stories and, you know, have and talk to people about this kind of weird stuff. And we really, it's stunning whenever we see stuff like this that that people are interested in what we're doing.
Yeah. You know? It's great whenever one person listens, and to have, you know, folks from a different part of the world listen, it's nice. And it just shows you that people can connect no matter where they're at. And, you know, I've had the great fortune to see a lot of the world and really love Canada. I love that part of the world. They're just great people. And and it's a cool thing to be able to show someone a slice of life, you know, in your neck of the woods. Sometimes I like to watch television from other countries because it's just so telling.
Yeah.
You know, you can sit and you can, you know, sort of put yourself in the position of someone that is just a normal person in that part of the world. And what is their humor? What is their, you know, what does their life evolve around when we're talking about creativity and fun and scenery? And it's cool. And we like you said, man, we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't think that feeling will ever go away, you know?
No.
Whether it's one person or
5 million.
Or 5 million.
Which, you know, that would be amazing. 5,000 would be amazing, you know. But hey, you know, we're thankful for everybody that listens, and we invite you all to write in or, you know, or call in or contact us. And if you've got a story to share and you want to be a part of the podcast, you know, we're making new friends. We've had a lot of our old friends on, and we're making new friends like Kip. And we want to keep making new friends with people that we haven't met, because that spices up our life and it adds to the depth and adds to the community that we've got here. So we invite you, all of our international listeners and all of our friends here at home, send us an email, contact us. If you listen and English isn't your native tongue, and you want to be on, but you're not secure in your speaking, you probably speak better than we do, but feel free to, you know, write your story, and then we'll have someone read it in your place. You know, we'll have our listener reader, Mr. Hubbard, come in and be you for an episode, and spread the word. Tell your friends.
Yeah. The door's
out
open
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on in. That's our policy.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, hey, well, thanks for listening, Kip. Amazing job. Thank you again for being on. We're gonna let you go for another week, and we will be back. You can count on it. Next week.
See ya.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.